That was Gungles by Wendy Reed, and I was lying in my bed thinking of words to describe Wendy's music, and I was thinking it's minimal, it's pointillistic, it's very idiosyncratic, and it's Wendy Reed, and it's just perfect for radio. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
You had a birthday on the 4th.
That's correct.
Of June. Dare I ask the age, or is it not an appropriate question?
Well, it's the penultimate birthday before my half century.
Okay. Well, I'm much older than you are. So, Wendy does a lot of compositions that are called tree pieces. That's part of a huge forest, I guess. Forest of tree pieces. So who were the people on that, on Gungles?
Well, Barb, there's Barb doing a little recorder.
Ostinato?
Yes. And there was Willie Winant playing, what was he playing? I think he was playing the vibraphone on that.
He does percussion for all your pieces, right? William Winant?
Yeah, I've used other people, but Willie's one of my stars.
He really understands your music, you know?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I don't think anybody else would remember what... Didn't you have another percussionist, and we were all just dying? Because he just... You had this, like, supposed hot shot percussionist from New York or something. And he just didn't understand your work at all. Yeah. And we longed for Willie. We never thought we'd be longing for Willie Winant, but we were.
Yeah. And then also Sam was on that.
Sam recording. Ashley.
And me.
What, you're playing violin?
I was playing a little bit of violin harmonics in that, barely audible.
What else is new?
And there was a very special bird in the music box.
And that's Gungles.
That was Gungles.
And this is a tradition that Wendy has to start every radio show that she does with Gungles.
Despite the quality of the recording.
Despite the quality of the recording.
And then there was a very famous dog in the...
Twinkie.
Yeah. Everyone who knows me knows Twinkie.
See what I mean by idiosyncratic? I might add eccentric as well, but these are all... Eccentric and idiosyncratic in a good way. Really. I'm not being ironic at all. Okay, so moving right along, what should we listen to? Which tree piece should we listen to now?
This is the famous tree piece number 17. And we all know that.
Who are the personnel in this?
Again, we have William Winant, and we have the famous Don Buchla. Don is playing one of his own instruments, Thunder, and Willie is again playing vibraphone with an array of other percussion instruments, as you'll hear. Now, one thing that's interesting with this is that Don has very percussive sounds that are very similar to Willie, so it's very interesting because you can't tell the electronic from the acoustic percussion very easily.
Can you?
Oh,
expert?
I don't listen that way. It doesn't matter. I'm listening for other things.
Okay. So let's give it a spin. I might urge you to give us a call if you like, 510-848-4425, if you want to talk to Wendy or myself or the mute guest. So 848-4425. And now let's listen to tree piece number
17
by Wendy Reed. That was a cart that came up by mistake. My fingers were in the wrong place. Did you ever do that when you play the piano? Well, you don't play the piano. Your fingers are entirely in the wrong place, you know? That was good, though. It sounds like the end of your piece. Right. I was going to say very dramatic ending.
Well, it did wake people up.
Hey, remember Haydn, Surprise Symphony? Sure woke me up, I'll tell you. Well, that was Tree Piece number 17 with the addition of a little fragment of a card. Coming up, let's play this card again and see what it was.
KPFA.
Crónicas de la Raza, los martes a las 7 de la noche en 94.
So.
Pretty exciting.
Pretty exciting. Never a dull moment. As you always say, the excitement never stops, right?
Correct.
So that was Tree Piece number 17. And beautifully recorded. Who did record that?
Maggie recorded
Maggie
that.
Payne.
Maggie Payne. Another.
The best.
Celebrity.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it was based on the words of Samuel Beckett. Nothing is more real than nothing.
Than nothing. It was a good ending. Very good ending. Okay. Moving right along here. You can pull that down to you. You don't have to sidle up to it.
It makes it so much more dramatic.
Yeah, it's extremely dramatic.
Okay. The mute over here is a little giggly.
Uh-huh. How are you tonight?
Fine. Thank you.
You're welcome. What should we listen to now, Wendy?
Well, I think the next in line is Tree Piece number 31.
Okay. Do you want to tell us a little about it?
Tree Piece number 31 is performed by Tom Dambly on trumpet, who I wrote the piece for, by the way. Tom had asked me to write a piece for a recital of his. And Joel Davel on percussion.
Okay. 31?
Yes.
Let's listen to Tree Piece 31 by Wendy Reed.
One eye.
That was Wendy Reed's Tree Piece number 31. What can I say? What was it right at the end? Was that tearing paper?
That was a paper tear. It's basically an kind of extended version of a haiku, which I mean, it's not really an Asian haiku. It's based on words by Paul Klee.
And what are those words?
One eye sees, the other feels. So that haiku sound, which is really the essence of the piece, is a whistle for the one eye sees and a slight paper tear for the other feels. So both of those sounds are expounded and developed in the composition.
So would it be reasonable to say that your music, the style, the minimal style resembles a haiku? Could you say that, or would that be too broad of a, to say that?
No, well, in the broad sense, definitely. I've always, people who know me know how much I like haiku.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a compliment. Thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome. You know I'm a fan. If you want to talk to Wendy Reed, you can phone her at the studio. Of course, you are listening to KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. This is Crack O' Dawn, the first Thursday of the month of midnight. I'm Barb, and Wendy Reed, and a quiet guest, another quiet guest, are present in the studio. And I feel very lucky to have you guys here. So,
ditto.
Thanks. So, again, give us a call, 510-848-4425. And I think we're going to crank up the famous LP.
Another dinosaur from the past.
Which I love. Once Wendy left me, this is a phenomenal LP. And I think a lot of people were starting to make CDs, and it's probably like one of the later LPs, and now some people are starting to make vinyl again, you know. They just
just had that vision, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. You knew that it would come back. And it's got four pieces on it, four tree pieces?
Yes, it does.
And what are they?
Well, let's see. On side A, we have tree piece number 8, Frog Ostinato, with Bill Banovitz, who has passed away this past year.
Oh.
Yeah. It's very tragic to me. I was just devastated when I heard that. And performed also by William Winant.
I think he doesn't mind being called Willie again.
Okay.
It seems like every decade he changes.
Okay. Yeah, I realized that when I was saying Willie. I remember him saying that.
Don't call me Willie. Well, I think it's okay again.
Okay. Well, yeah. Especially.
I've heard very famous people referring to him as Willie.
Okay.
And he wasn't upset.
That's safe now. Now we have also on side A, tree piece number 10, based on, and also dedicated to my mother, words somewhat like a haiku, but contradiction is affirmation of.
But we're not listening to side one right now, are we?
No, we aren't.
I think we're listening to side two.
You asked me what was on the record, so I thought I was kind of perusing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now we're getting to the side that we'll be listening to. This is getting more and more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Side B, we have the solo percussion piece written exclusively. Well, not that other people can't play it. Percussionists feel free to order the music through Frog Peak. But I did write it for Willie for his birthday 1 year. So it's tree piece number 8. And then we also have tree piece number 21, which was Mary Oliver had asked me to write that for her recital, a violin and percussion piece, also performed by Mary Oliver and William, or Willie, Winant. Mm. And all, I might add, my favorite, one of my favorite past birds, or isn't it?
Which bird would that be?
Let's see.
They've had so many, she can't keep track.
Yeah, this was Choo Choo.
Oh, yeah.
The Pacific parrotlet, who just woke me up every morning with his beautiful melodies.
Before we listen to these tree pieces, you mentioned Wendy's scores are beautiful looking, and there have been exhibitions of your scores, right, in several galleries?
Yes, that's true.
And you can actually order the scores through Frog Peak Records, right?
That's correct.
And do you have a web page, a website or something?
Well, you know, I do have a web page through Mills.
But I'm sorry.
not anything else.
Where can people order?
Oh, you can definitely order the music through Frog Peak. I'm not sure what their
web. Oh, the sound of that crackle of the LP is so nice.
Especially with the little twittering of
the
bird.
It fits perfect. In perfectly. Oh, the sound of that crackle of the LP is so nice.
Especially with the little twittering of the bird.
It fits in perfectly. Yeah. We're listening to the music of Wendy Reed. This is Crack O' Dawn with Barb. And, of course, it's KPFA, KPFB Berkeley, KFCF Fresno. I love those tree pieces. That's from an LP called Tree Pieces. And it's distributed by Frog Peak Recording. And we listened to number 8 and number 21. And what were you saying about the colors in number 8?
Oh, well, the solo percussion score is a very visual type of score. It actually is a visual representation of the Fibonacci series, which is a number series in nature. It's found in a number of things throughout nature. And mathematically, it's the sum of the two preceding numbers, each number that occurs. So anyway, so the whole score starts out with a very small staff, and it grows into a bigger staff, and then recedes into a small staff again. It's kind of like a life cycle. And the score itself is multicolored. The percussionist plays certain percussion instruments according to the color. For example, green are membrane instruments, those drums. Wood are brown, the brown colored notes. Blue, glass, and yellow, metal. And then there's little spots of pink where it's improvised instruments, so it can be a number of different kinds of instruments in those spots.
I never really knew that, by the way. Thank you for edifying me and the listeners. And speaking of listeners, if you want to talk to Wendy briefly, you can phone her at the studio, 510-848-4425. And I just wanted to mention two things that are coming up. Rova Saxophone Quartet is playing at Bruno's Thursday, a week from tonight, Thursday, June 14th. Sets at 8:30 and 10:30, and Bruno's is 2389 Mission Street near 20th. And they have really delicious food and drink, and then you can listen to Rova. And Open Studios, Pro Art is sponsoring Open Studios this coming weekend. And Michael Shipling and John Jacobson have Open Studios at Michael's house, 2810 Maple Street at Oregon. And refreshments are served. And it's called Desolation and Desire. Michael does some really off-the-wall computer graphics and weird little robots and strange sculpture, and John Jacobson is a very well-known painter. So it sounds really terrific. And for more information about the Open Studio at Michael Shipling's, 510-841-7068. So we've just flipped over this LP of Wendy Reed's, and we're going to side one, and we're going to listen to Tree Pieces 34, followed by Tree Piece 10. Do you want to say anything about the personnel on those?
Well, I mentioned, remember, I did talk about...
Oh, yeah, you did. Why don't you just really, really briefly...
Okay, Bill Banovitz.
Sometimes people just wake up or...
Oh, okay.
They wake up to go to the bathroom. No, whatever. I'm okay. Just kidding. That's a joke.
Yes. Well, Bill Banovitz is playing oboe on Tree Piece number 34, along with William Winant. And there are a couple of little frog croaks. That's the name. Frog Ostinato is the subtitle of the piece. And the second piece is Tree Piece number 10, based on a poem by my mother, Shotzi Reed, which goes, but contradiction is affirmation of.
Did she write that?
Yes.
Okay. Let's listen to them. That's an exquisite piece by Wendy Reed. That's a reprise of Tree Piece 17. We heard it at the beginning of the show. And I wanted to hear it again. Barb. So, for something completely different, well, not really completely different, a little change of pace, I got another load of CDs from Empreinte Digitale from Quebec, from Jean-François Denis, and usually they have Canadians, but they have a few Brits now, and this is called The British Connection, a collection of Brits, and we're going to listen to Adrian Moore. His CD is called Traces, so we'll hear the first cut of that. Do give me a call if you like at 510-848-4425. Let me know that some of you are out there. Okay, Adrian Moore, Traces. New release from Empreinte Digitale. I love saying that.
Did it. I played that card. I have to confess, I never really knew how to. It was really hard. Pushing slider. You're listening to KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. This is Crackle Dawn. And when I told her, or she read some of the copy on the folio cover that says perfectly minimal, perfect music, and she sort of said, this is Wendy Reed, sort of said, who the hell wrote that? And I said, well, I did. And she said, why? And I said, well, you know, when I'm outside in nature and I hear a few birds chirping and I hear some crickets or something, I keep thinking of Wendy Reed's music. So she didn't say anything after that, so I guess it wasn't that bad an epithet. Hi, Wendy Reed.
Hello, Barbara.
How are you this chilly evening?
I'm staying awake here.
Yeah, suddenly it's sort of the adrenaline starts to flow somehow.
Yeah.
When you're running around like a chicken without a head or so. Well, thanks for coming. And just tell the listeners it's Crackle Dawn. And you're going to be hearing 3 hours of Wendy Reed's beautiful music. And that'll definitely liven up the evening in a very minimal, very sparse, livened way. So tell me the first tree number we're going to be hearing.
Well, we're going to hear tree piece number 17, which was written for Don Buchla, and it's performed on this recording by Don Buchla himself and William Winant, percussion. Don is playing thunder and possibly lightning at the end, I'm not quite sure, which are two instruments he created.
And people will get a chance, well, is this a piece that they might be getting a chance to hear live on the 11th? Or is this another piece?
The piece on the 11th is tree piece number 44.
And we'll be hearing that. We'll be hearing little parts of it, right? Not the whole thing?
Well, actually, it's still in the process.
Ah.
I could tell you a few sounds that you'll be hearing.
Okay, but meanwhile we're going to hear number 17.
Yes. I'd like to say one other thing. Is it too late?
No. Okay. I just pulled the slider back down.
Good. There's a text used in this by Beckett. Nothing is more real than nothing.
So, now everything I hear, even if it's just, you know, kind of a little tiny bit of white noise or air, I think is something happening in your piece.
Yeah, well, there was a text in that piece, believe it or not. It's supposed to come at the very end of the piece, but I didn't quite sure what happened there.
So we could let it roll, though, and because it says first take or something. Do you mm-hmm. want to hear other takes? Or
no. But it ends with the text. Nothing is more real than nothing.
So, how do you choose the tonalities? I was wondering about that for a few days, because the notes, you know, it's pretty sparse. How do you choose your scale or your your harmonics, your tonalities for a particular piece?
Well, a lot of it is chosen by timbre. And in this particular piece, each note has its own specific timbre. It was originally based on violin timbres. Like there was an open A and a fingered A. The open A string and the fingered A are definitely two different sounds. And then there was an artificial harmonic and natural harmonic. And then there was...
all of A?
No, not just of A. Then there was an F that came in later. Some of the pitches were derived from the particular timbre created on that pitch. And there was also some Ponticello effects on the low G string. Played on the violin, made those rumbling, mumbling sounds that you heard at the end of the piece.
So that sort of translated itself to thunder? Were the notes the same, like the pitch? Or were they slightly different or what?
Well, actually, what happens is every time I transfer to other instruments, I start out with the same pitches, but then the pitches are changed because the timbres naturally change on a different instrument. So sometimes the pitches are pretty much completely changed. It was interesting with Willie. It's difficult in this recording, which makes it nice to tell. You can't tell the difference between thunder or the percussion instrument, the live versus electronic. I remember we started out with a A-flat, low rumbling sound, and we ended up using an indefinite pitch drum because we liked the rumble better. So in the end, the pitch is a lower priority than the timbre.
I see. So, I'm reading some Henry Cowell right now, and it sort of sounds vaguely familiar. That it was the things between cracks, and it wasn't so much the notes as a lot of the sonorities and timbres and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, are we going to listen to what we queued up here now?
Tree piece number 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, this is, speaking of timbre and pitch, and also that idea of perfect, what's interesting about this piece is I play off a bird who, because of its very perfect or imperfect intonation, is whichever you interpret, it creates a very interesting microtonality, which I try to imitate on the violin with harmonics, telling the violinist not to play too well in tune, which is easier than trying to notate all these little microtones.
Are you the violinist on this one?
Actually, this piece was originally written for Mary Oliver, and Mary Oliver is the performer on this, along with William Wynant. And what's interesting about this, later on, David Abel and Willie, William Wynant, the same person, played this piece, and they had asked me to write a piece for their trio. So I wrote a piece very similar to this.
Maybe we can hear them back to back.
Well, I don't think you can.
Why?
Because the trio recording... It's a live recording. I don't even have a copy of it.
Oh.
But I just assumed it wouldn't be very interesting to hear because of the dynamic level of the performance versus the audience sound.
Oh, I thought you had... are you making a recording?
We eventually will make a recording of it. But adding the piano as a third timbre, really... Mm. I was a little bit concerned about it because I never feel like my music is really piano oriented. I was surprised, partially because Julie is an incredible performer.
I know.
It was Julie Steinberg, who's in the
Abel Steinberg Wynant Trio.
Right. Who I wrote for. I wrote a piece that was very similar to this in a lot of ways, but which I guess I, in certain ways, I like better.
And the piano part, I think, really enhanced the piece, that extra added timbre.
So now we're going to hear the violin and bird version, tree yes. piece number
21
by Wendy Reed. So, tree piece number
21.
I'm not even trying to remember the numbers from, you know, my short-term memory's totally shot. I don't know, I guess I've been drinking too much herb tea or herbal tea or something. So, how do you get the tree, the numbers? Because they're not consecutive or anything, mm-hmm. necessarily. Is there, what is it based on?
Well, different things. Some tree numbers are the Fibonacci series numbers, because a lot of them have been use a Fibonacci series as a structural device. And others are just kind of frivolously numbered according to people's birthdays or how old they are, or the year it happens to be that year that I wrote it. So it comes in pretty randomly. And then I have some lucky numbers I tend to use too, so.
I know you like 4, right?
Yes, I like 4 and 10, 14, 40, 44.
How many tree pieces are there?
Well, that's a good question. I've never counted them.
Really?
Yeah, it's a... It's hard to say. It's probably about 20. I hate to disappoint people when they hear the name, the numbers. I have one that's number 55.
Oh, and someone thought it was your 55th tree piece?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But then when 17 came after 55, they realized that uh-huh. couldn't be the case.
Yeah.
Yes.
But knowing Wendy, that is totally logical.
But there will be 55 pieces in the end, probably.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Or if not more.
Yeah. Yeah, I always admire that you, you know, stuck to, it seems to be the right thing to do, to do one thing and, you know, do it better and better all the time. No, I think
throw it to the ground, right?
No, I think it's really admirable, because I'm sort of off in all directions, and it's entertaining, but I don't think you get that proficient in any one thing.
Well, but no, I feel they're pretty often different directions too. So it's not. Everybody has their own style, and how they name it is pretty. It can be very arbitrary sometimes. This isn't as arbitrary as other names. For that reason, maybe people think I'm more consistent.
But what did you dream last night?
Gee, I don't remember my dream. Why?
I don't know. I always ask people what they dream and what they eat, you know.
Yeah, well, I remember my dreams occasionally, but not very often. I don't remember last night's at all.
Do you have anything that's recurring or, you know, a theme?
Gee. These are difficult questions. In my dreams?
Yeah.
You know, as I said, my dreams I hardly ever remember. I'm not like certain people who have these incredible dreams, and I hate to be disappointing.
Oh, no. No, I mean, I just thought I'd ask, but, you know.
Yeah, I wish I did. It's
not disappointing. No, I can't sort of say that. I wouldn't say it's disappointing.
Yeah.
So, do you want, you better, while you're still here and so forth, this is a really wonderful exhibit of Wendy's scores, and then a concert of music that's starting the exhibition, right, on November 11th?
Not really, but a lot of that was right. Most of it was right at the last statement.
Tell me and everyone else who's listening all about it, because it's upcoming, well, you know, starting, especially, well, the concert is next week, mm-hmm. next a week from tomorrow, right?
Yes. It's already started. That's the only change in that. I'm having an installation at Mills. Some of them are about 6 feet long, and they're red from bottom to top, like a tree. And the structure of the piece is really illuminated by the visual score itself, which makes it kind of interesting to see. And so you can get a grasp of how the piece is put together just by looking at the score without even hearing it. Which, with a lot of traditional music, I think you can too, but with that music, you'd have to turn pages, and with this music, you can see it all in one scene.
Is that the way your scores usually are?
With the tree pieces, the tree pieces are that way.
That's great.
I've had, you know, the pieces that came before, the clay pieces, had some similarities to that. They were kind of like precursors of the tree pieces.
They have to have two E's in the name.
Yeah, but pronounced quite differently, though.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah, but I always think of that, too, as they were just meant to be.
So people can go to the Prieto Gallery at Mills College and see this exhibition?
Yes, and I guess why I call it installation is that...
Installation.
It's probably more of an exhibition because it's mainly scores, but there'll be some tapes of some of the pieces.
There's music by the pieces that show how they sound, right?
Not every single score has a recording, but some of them do.
So that's great.
So it has a sound element to it. And then on November 11th, there will be the reception, which normally I guess would be an opening reception. That's why you probably thought that was the beginning of the installation. But it's almost at the very end. And that's when tree piece number 44 will be performed, which is just with electronic instruments. This will be the first piece I've ever done just with electronics.
So there's no tapes, no animals, I mean, except for the humanoids.
I'm doing it outside because I hope we get a few crickets and frogs.
In the mix.
And other various, you know, civilized sounds too are okay. So.
And the personnel is Stellar, which is George Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Is he playing trombone? No.
I've made a boo-boo. It's not completely electronics. I mean, it is all electronics because the instruments we use are amplified.
Yeah.
So he is using an amplified trombone, but he's also playing electronic instruments too, which are Buchlas again, Thunder, Lightning, and this piece originally was going to use a new instrument of Don's called Wind, which is in the process of being developed.
These right new now. Smaller instruments are really exciting.
Yeah, what happens is I always think of electronic instruments as not having the subtleties of acoustic instruments and being kind of frustrated by that. These controllers, which Thunder and Lightning are, give the performer the ability to do quite subtle things that aim close to acoustic instruments in certain ways. So they're kind of up my alley.
Good. And so unfortunately I'll be in an airplane going to my son's wedding, but sorry.
Yeah, well, people have told me it's kind of crazy to perform this piece November 11th at between 8 and 10 p.m. outside, so maybe you can catch a summer performance in it.
Yeah, that would be great.
A nicer, warmer environment. But
the last thing I had to turn down because of my son was I met this person in Greece, and he offered to take me to Casablanca on his yacht. And I said, I can't because I'm going to my son's bar mitzvah. That was like 15, it's almost as good as we'll always have Paris, you know, but not
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a little bit worse than missing Three Piece number 44 premiere, I've admitted.
Well, I'll tell you, I was very disappointed when I saw that George Lewis was playing and I wasn't going to be here. I was kind of disappointed because he's such a riveting performer. I mean, he brings so much to the music and, you know, playing and exuberance and presence is really phenomenal, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Actually, the performance of the group of his with Alvin, him and Richard Teitelbaum.
Oh, yeah.
What's the name of that group?
Mev. Musica Electronica Viva.
Yes, I heard that at Mills. When they performed
when Richard couldn't make it.
Right, couldn't make it. But George had these kind of groaning sounds, which really inspired part of this piece of mine. Hey, he'll be doing some groaning on the on the trombone.
And moaning, too?
No, just groans.
Later.
Just groans. Yeah, actually, this whole piece is, as the usual, is derived from a very single sound, a drop, which develops into frog croaks, which eventually develops into groans. And the electronic instruments create some beautiful groans. I shouldn't give any more away, because I like to have people listen to it without describing it.
Did you say you had some of the sounds, though? That we're going to hear later, can we? Or we don't have to bother, though.
Maybe. No, actually, I don't. You know, I could imitate a few, but I'd rather not.
I don't think you better.
Right,
maybe better not. So yeah. I think we're going to hear number 31 is up, as they say
right.
In the
yeah.
biz.
Yeah. Here we are, 31. Now this, I never thought I would write a tree piece for trumpet, but it has been done. It's tree piece number 31, written for Tom Dambly, who was a trumpet player at Mills, very interested in contemporary music, a wonderful player.
Is he still alive?
Tom?
Yeah. Well, he said he was. So.
Oh, yeah, no, he's very much alive.
Oh, good.
Hi, Tom, I hope you're listening to this. And he's playing, it was written for trumpet and percussion. But we have a new percussionist, Joel Davil, is playing.
Oh, great. By the way, just let me interrupt that if you do want to talk to Wendy and, you know, ask her different things or ask her where you can get her records and tapes and so forth, please give a call to 510-848-4425. And that's the studio here. So that's 510-848-4425. But don't phone and ask me if you can be on the radio, that person, because you can't. Not even at 5 to 3. So.
One thing about this piece, just to interject here.
Please.
It does have a text, too, which I'd like to give credit to Paul Clay this time. He returns. This is from his diary. The text goes, "One eye sees, the other feels." That's how the piece begins.
Hopefully. This is tree piece number 31, Wendy Reed, with William Banovitz trumpet and William Winant percussion.
Tom Dambly, trumpet.
Oh, yeah. So who's Bill Banowitz?
That's the oboe.
That's right, okay.
The oboist.
The oboist, not the oboe.
Yeah.
So, we're going to hear Twittering Machine. Did you want to say something else about that?
No, actually, not too much, I guess. That was probably enough. I guess the whole piece was based on the idea of this one eye sees, there's a whistle, and then the other feels is a rip of a paper. Uh-huh. So the whistle turns into the trumpet.
Uh-huh.
And you know, that's just kind of like a little haiku that develops.
But do most of them have text? Most of your pieces, the ideas come from text? Or
It's pretty haphazard with that, too. The text I use tends to be not just the text, but it has the material in it tends to reflect, actually certain sections of the piece reflect certain words or phrases of the text. What comes to mind is like with the Beckett quote, which we almost heard. I'm not sure exactly what happened to that.
Can you say the quote?
Nothing is more real than nothing. There is one section where this open A reflects nothing, the word nothing, and it's kind of interesting because it's visually it looked like that too on the score. You see all these little zeros. Is more real than is became a harmonic.
Oh.
And more real than was this dribbling sound of the violin, which was Colegno played on the wood, which was also the drum that you heard, more drumming, rumbling sound of the percussion. And then the last word is more real than nothing. And then the last nothing is played with a fingered note, which is is much more softer than open string. So you have, and it's a pizzicato. So, as I said before, each section of the piece, which there were a number of textural type sections, the textures were reflected in the text as well as the timbres. So there were all these kind of mixed connections. And it seems like even with this last piece, there were similar things happening with the text. So I use it almost as another structural
uh-huh.
element. And
do you ever write any of the text?
Have I written any text? Good question.
What about the one where we just said and, but?
Actually,
did you write
that was an interesting thing. My brother wrote that text. It's but nothing. Listening to that song.
It's really similar.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. It reminds me. Actually,
yeah.
All of these kind of existential phrases. But contradiction is affirmation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How can I forget?
Yeah, that was interesting because
yeah,
I thought it was
that.
My mother's poem, and it ended up, I found out later it was my brother's poem, but I had dedicated it to my mother, so I thought it was more appropriate that her two children wrote the music and used my brother's text and then
dedicate the song to her.
Yeah, so it was nice
piece.
That way. See, this next piece, Twittering Machine, I'm just playing this as kind of, since it is a 3-hour marathon. Which is pretty deadly for any composer to do, I guess, is a very old piece. It was written in 1976, and it was part of the clay pieces. It was one of the first clay pieces, which were a series of pieces based on writings, probably more writings than pictures and paintings by the painter Paul Klee. And what's interesting about this, the reason why I particularly chose this one is when you walk into this installation at the Prieto Gallery, it's the first score you see. And it's the only score that you don't read from bottom to top. You read circular. It's like a little machine, like a music box written. And you start at the top and you go in a circle. And at the very end of the piece, it says, wind up. So you continue on, and you keep on winding up if you want to hear the piece over and over again. So it's kind of like that Satie piece that has all those repeats, if you want it to be that long. But it basically is like a little twittering machine or music box.
We're going to hear that in a moment. Just want to tell you that you're listening to KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. And this is Crackle Dawn and the music of Wendy Reed. Twittering Machine.
Yes.
20 years old.
Yeah. Or whatever.
20 years young.
Yeah.
Stands up pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
It's fuller.
Yeah. Well, it was an orchestra, it was like a chamber orchestra piece. You know, when you're 20 years old, you think you're going to write symphonies, and I decided after that piece, write pieces for two or more instruments. Such an ordeal getting performances of with large groups. Yeah, but the whole series of the clay pieces was based on a group of 20 or less instruments.
I remember one of the first times I ever saw you was in 1979 in Terry Riley's class. And I think you were playing for the class. I don't know if it was a string quartet or what, but there was glass breaking.
Mm-hmm. That's the old string quartet.
The string quartet. Are we going to hear that? Did you bring that?
You know, I didn't bring that, because every time I listen to it, I hear more hiss than anything else.
Uh-huh.
So as you can see, there's lots of hiss on a lot of these tapes. I don't have my CD performance yet. So
is that coming up?
Well, we all think it is, don't we? It's not in the immediate planning, but
uh-huh.
I'm sure it will one day.
So, you know, just in case people, we keep mentioning that the Prieto Gallery, that's at Mills College, by the way, and so was this performance on November 11th, and Mills College is, it's off the 580, and it's the MacArthur exit, and I guess there's an N bus that goes right to it, and you just get off at MacArthur and Seminary, and is there a number that they could phone?
Yeah, well, I really don't know. I mean, you can call the music department.
Well, here, I have, what am I doing? I have this whole thing. This is some stuff that's happening at Mills. I just might as well tell you that tomorrow, or it's tonight, really. What's the date today? The 4th, yeah. And these are free concerts. Alvin Lussier, Center for Contemporary Music, Alvin Lussier, works by him, and Chris Brown, and John Bischoff. So that should be a wonderful concert tomorrow night at the concert hall. That's free. And then if you come tomorrow night, then you'll know exactly where to go next Friday night. And then the Friday after that, there's a piece of Alvin Curran's. It's a percussion quartet with William Wynand. Small world. So the next three Fridays, starting tonight, just go to Mills College and see this wonderful music, and it's free. And I've got lots of other things to announce to you, but that'll be later. Now what? Oh, Gungles. God, a blast from the past. So you intro Gungles while I wine and roses and whatever.
This is another kind of music box piece, but not created by humans. I had a special music box. Actually, it was not so much a music box, but it was a musical cage with one of those little stuffed birds inside. And as it got more and more decrepit, I wanted to preserve it by writing a piece for it. And it ended up being my first film score. Gungles was score for two Oriental people. A film was called On the Track, and it was by Lambert Yam, the director, producer, and Ruby Yang was, I guess, the co-producer. But the film was the day in the life of a trolley car, so it started out at dawn and went through the day of a trolley car and went through all the different sights it witnessed at dawn, noon, time when people came back from work, dusk, and twilight. So this piece also, I think you performed this piece without me, didn't you? It seemed like I went out of town, and you told me that you put the birdcage on top of the cassette player, because I said this could just be played on a cassette player.
That seems very familiar. You mean on this show or somewhere else?
No, in the I remember this was in a student union, that performance that you did.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there for the performance because my mother was ill and I rushed back to Los Angeles.
That's right. I remember now. Now that I know why it's so familiar.
Yeah.
That was a really good concert. I mean, that was a good time.
Yeah, it was a nice group of people there. Anyway, so you, in the actual performance, the Birdcage is not only on the tape, but it's played live. So you're going to hear just kind of the taped version. A little disappointing compared to a live performance.
Okay, so this is Gungles, Wendy Reed. I know it's very late in the game, but can you just like get the closer to the mic or pull it over? Just pull it over to
you. Okay.
Yeah, you can be rough with it.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot. I was telling Barbara as we were listening to this tape that I forgot my dog Twinkie was in this.
How could we forget Twinkie?
I had a border collie for 17 years. One of the great creatures of my life. So, Twinkie's in there, as you could hear, barking at every bell that was telling you the time. And those bells were the Mills bells.
Which we all recorded, Sam Ashley, myself, and Wendy recorded one night. And
Willie was there,
and
too.
And Willie was there, too. And he said, just before midnight, and we were waiting quietly, and we were recording, and Willie said, "It's over." And you said, "No, it's not." And Sam said, "Shut up." And then you hear the bells tolling. And before that, we were laughing. And I have that on tape. And I used that in that same that piece in the student union. But I used the whole thing with all the laughing and "It's over, no, it's not," and all that. And I used it not only once, but I had to do that twice, as a matter of fact. And it's at the end of my piece, a very long piece that I love.
We got some good productive recording that night, didn't we?
Yeah, we really did. We had a lot of fun. And I've notated all that in my journals, so every detail is in my journals. All the romping around in Orchard Meadow that we used to do. We had a lot of fun. It was quite innocent, actually. Well, you know, maybe it wasn't that innocent, but it was pretty, you know, fun-filled and tame and so on.
Right.
Before the plague hit us, too, I might add. Not that it mattered.
What plague was
that? Well, before AIDS and all that, before things got so grim.
Oh.
It was almost even before Ronald Reagan. I mean, before he took effect. I mean, it was seemed like such happy times, 79 and so,
yeah,
80. I keep saying and so forth. I got that from Jim Horton. Thanks a lot, Jim. Uh-huh. One of the many things I have to thank him for. So, what now?
Tree piece number 34, Frog Ostinato. This is with William Banovitz oboe.
Ah, okay.
We finally got to another.
Another bill.
And William Winant percussion. Need I say more?